And welcome once again to Capitol Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, David Taylor, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. With me in the studio, Rebecca Euler, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. Rebecca, great to be with you.
Good to be back with you, Dave. Thanks.
And we're going to send along good wishes to our pal Steve Bloom from Commonwealth Foundation, who was out on assignment. So, Rebecca, you and I can kick it around. We can get this thing done. It is another interesting week in Sin City, Harrisburg, PA, and that the appropriations hearings or the budget hearings for the Commonwealth have been concluded. And I don't know how closely you followed all that stuff. It seemed like there was a lot of buck passing that people were you know, promised to circle back with the information to the lawmakers. But I suppose that's standard. But it did seem like it was that card was played more often than in times past.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think the biggest takeaway I had just overall was there was a strong disagreement over the amount of spending that's appropriate for the budget. This being the first time that the governor's proposing to take the state budget above $50 billion. And that's a pretty big milestone. We were talking sort of in town here. I remember when it was 25 billion.
Yes, I remember those days also.
It wasn't that long ago.
Low 20s.
Right, but I guess I'm getting kind of old. So, but yeah, $50 billion. So there also was a little bit of disagreement over how much the state economy will grow over the next couple of years and how much money will be required out of the rainy day funds in order to make ends meet with the budget.
Because what Shapiro is proposing now would burn through what remains of surpluses. And a lot of that's just Biden bucks that came off of the federal printing press.
Right. And the Republican on one side, the Republicans are saying by 2027, those funds would be completely obliterated. So the governor's budget office disagrees with that assessment. So there was a little bit of a disagreement over how fast those funds would need to go.
But nobody anywhere claims that the Commonwealth would somehow spend less money the year after than it did in the year prior. Like,
no.
The spending never goes down.
For sure. That's for sure. We always seem to grow. And the debate is over how much we're going to grow in any particular year. But you're absolutely right. It's always up, never down.
So there was a really interesting, a really notable data point that I came across, that U.S. News and World Report did a ranking of the states, ranking, you know, along many criteria. Pennsylvania got an overall ranking of 40th, which, you know, is obviously not great, but even more alarming that our economy was ranked at 41st. Among the 50 states, and in fiscal solvency, that we ranked 44th, which is actually worse than California. So, as the listeners have heard me say many times, probably every time on this show, we have a structural deficit. Pennsylvania, like, we're in trouble, where mandatory spending is increasing faster than the natural growth of the tax base from economic growth, and that this is driven by our underlying demographic crisis, and that Governor Shapiro's budget doesn't really recognize any of those realities.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. There were three items in this U.S. News and World Report that we were ranked below number 40. And you mentioned two of them, economy and fiscal stability, and the third one was infrastructure. So those three items are, I think, critical to economic development in the state and how we're succeeding in the economy. Now, we didn't do quite as badly in areas like healthcare, education, opportunity. I mean, we weren't we weren't really lighting any bright lights in those areas. But
when we're 43rd in infrastructure, that is alarming, or at least it should be.
Yes. So these are the things that we really should focus on improving in order to improve our economy and our environment here to bring folks into the state and grow the economy. So you're right. These are the things that the governor should be focusing on in his budget for sure. And one thing I noticed is in the economy section, they called out a statistic called venture capital per GDP.
Okay.
So, and this is the amount of money per $1,000 of GDP that goes into venture capital. So in Pennsylvania, it's $2.22 out of 1,000 per GDP. At the national level, it's $6.23. So we're only a third of the national average, right, for venture capital. So this is money that goes into creating new ventures, new businesses, new opportunities. And the other thing that I had noticed around the same time that Pennsylvania was ranked as 16th in the country as the most expensive state to start a business.
And who did that ranking?
Simplify LLC. This was a report on the study of the most and least expensive states to start a business in 2025.
Wow.
So this study used data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Federal Reserve, the Tax Foundation, Energy Information Administration, and others. So it looked at taxes, business filing fees, commercial rent and utilities, labor costs, regulations, and small business lending. So that sort of the same types of numbers that we're looking at here. Pennsylvania is really behind the curve with business investment and new venture capitals, new businesses, new entrepreneurship. So we're really behind the curve there.
And it bears repeating. And again, this is a point that the listeners will have heard often. In a free country with a free economy, private sector investment decisions are voluntary, that the legislature can't pass a bill or the governor can't issue an order requiring businesses to invest and operate and hire here in Pennsylvania. We cannot bind people here. It's like if somebody wants to come, they'll come, and if they don't, they don't. And if they're here and they want to go, they're free to go. And this is why we need our leaders to be wise and to be thoughtful about what the effects of their policies are going to be on the productive sector. Because, it goes back to that fundamental principle. Is the private economy a garden to be tended, or is it a beast of burden to be whipped? And too often the attitude in Pennsylvania is if there's a domestic industry, just bleed it. And that attitude is exactly what has gotten us to where we are. I'd also argue that chronic overspending and having government grow faster than the private sector, which has happened in Pennsylvania year after year, decade after decade, that is the prime cause of our economic underperformance.
Well, I think that gets to the point of fiscal stability that this the original study we were talking about here from U.S. News and Report talked about fiscal stability, and that is the long-term viability of the finances of the government. Like you said, in this we are underwater as a state with our fiscal stability that we have. Bills to pay that we just simply in the long term don't have the wherewithal to be able to support the government that we have.
Government at this scale.
At the scale that we have, right.
And,
right.
If there was any place in America that needed the Department of Government Efficiency to focus on state matters, I would say that it's Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
To actually go through the books, find out where all the money is going, and to find ways to get rid of things that we don't need, things that are excessive, things that are wasteful, things that are fraudulent, and to find ways to get more value out of the dollars that are already being taken from the taxpayers.
Right. We're actually number 46 in fiscal stability. So really long-term fiscal stability.
Long-term 46. Fiscal stability.
Yep.
Whew. You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm your host, David Taylor from Pennsylvania Manufacturers. With me, Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. So, I mean, where does this leave us? Because, I mean, at least for this budget cycle, the governor seems resolute on pursuing these priorities. You know, the Democrats are very nominally in control of the PA House. We're awaiting the results of some special elections before they likely return to 102 members in the majority. There are still 28 Pennsylvania state senators who are Republicans. So, I mean, where do we go from here?
Well, one area where I think there's some agreement is that Pennsylvania does have a very high corporate net income tax. And that I will give it to the governor. He actually is proposing to accelerate the reduction of the corporate net income tax, which as it stands now is, I think, set to reduce by 0.5% each year, I think, over the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. And he wants to accelerate that to 0.75%,
right.
I believe.
But that at a price. And
sure.
That price is that he wants this tax scheme called mandatory unitary combined reporting, which is a poison pill because it would give to the State Department of Revenue the powers of the IRS for the purpose of assigning Pennsylvania business tax liability to businesses' operations in other states.
Mm-hmm.
And that this would for Pennsylvania taxpayers, it would eliminate predictability of tax payments. Because obviously the institutional mission of the Department of Revenue is to maximize what? Revenue to the Commonwealth. And so the Department of Revenue will always view your activities in other states to in whatever way will bring the maximum amount of collections to the Commonwealth. And at that point, you know, employers will sue to say that no, that's not correct, and that the sum in question will go into escrow. So there's no windfall for anybody. Mm-hmm. That the Commonwealth doesn't get to just take that money and spend it, but it also takes the money away from the business and locks it up so that it's no longer available as working capital. And that you know, with combined reporting, like, what do we know? We know for sure that America is a federal republic with 50 sovereign states, and that each state has its own system of taxation with its own kinds of taxes and with the differing rates and differing definitions and differing tests of applicability. And so the one thing that you know for sure is that these state tax systems are unlike one another. There is not can never be a true, you know, apples to apples comparison. And so it's that it's all of the vagaries that open up when you try to assess somebody's operations in another state. What's also very telling about how this is a total cash grab is that while business profits from other states can be taxed, business losses from other states cannot be counted against PA tax liability. So it's a one-way street for the taxpayer. And again, if you're an accountant or a tax lawyer, this is a bonanza. Like, mm-hmm. Congratulations, you've
it's
just got a lot more business.
Yeah.
But if you're an actual Pennsylvania company who happens to also operate in other states, it is a nightmare, and that your compliance costs have just gone up. You're going to wind up in court. You're going to have all of the uncertainty over what your tax bill is going to be. For multi-state companies that are not yet in Pennsylvania, it's a great reason to stay away. And if you're a Pennsylvania headquartered company who has more business out of state than in state, that's a great reason to leave.
Yeah, that's absolutely opposite of what we need to be doing here in Pennsylvania to bring businesses in the state, and defeats the purpose of lowering the corporate net income tax.
That these people, I mean, the governor knows better.
Yeah.
The governor knows better. The governor knows that we passed what they called add back provisions, mm-hmm. that the Secretary of Revenue was by law has the power to disallow deductions that he or she believes to be not legitimate. So having done that, that's already squeezed out whatever kind of extra tax collection they think that they're going to get from this, which, you know, it's a phantom. It's like it's like they're chasing leprechaun gold. But because of government greed, there are people who are just so in love with the idea that there is a big pot of money out there waiting to be claimed and spent, and then you get the political support for having spent it and stuff. But it's not real. It's not real. But in the course of pursuing that, they could do an awful lot of damage to the real world economy.
So you're saying this we keep hearing about the Delaware loophole.
Yes.
So that is what you're saying is a complete fantasy.
It's a complete fantasy. And I love the fact that the example that's brought up from many years ago is a transaction that was conducted by Toys R Us, which is a company that doesn't exist anymore. I mean, the world has changed. And you know, insofar as that was ever real or ever a viable a vehicle for you know, shielding tax liability, it doesn't exist anymore. I mean, we should be focused on what is really important, which is how do we hammer down the baseline costs of creating and keeping jobs here in Pennsylvania so it becomes the smart business decision for people to choose to invest and locate and hire and operate here in Pennsylvania, recognizing that people are free to choose where they want to go to do business.
Yeah, and if you look at those states that are top of the list, number one is Utah, followed by New Hampshire, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Idaho. And what are some of the things that those states have in common? They have lower taxes, which we've been talking about generally. Mm-hmm. And just an aside there, there was another, we talk about the Wallet Hub survey that happens from time to time.
Right.
The newest Wallet Hub survey came out with the fact that Pennsylvania has the fifth highest tax rates in the country. So Wallet Hub has us number five. So these other states that do well, they have lower taxes generally, fewer burdensome regulations that make it harder for businesses to succeed, expand, create new products, create new jobs, all of those things. And they have, you know, incentives that attract entrepreneurs that mm-hmm. and businesses that we've been talking about here.
Right.
So,
and incentives in the terms of like welcoming business
yes,
conditions, not
right,
just like trying to bribe people with,
no,
with cash.
Exactly. Yep. They prioritize balanced budgets and have conservative fiscal policies, which is not what we're seeing proposed in Harrisburg right now, at least not from the governor's budget. So,
and, you know, I mean, Rebecca, you and I have been at this for a few seasons now, and it's the longer time goes on, the more obvious these solutions seem to be, at least to me, to say that you can't let government grow faster than the private economy. You can't let government spend money faster than people can earn it. And that by indulging in, you know, long-term debt, especially when it goes for, you know, political payoffs like, you know, bureaucrat pensions and stuff like that, that the more trouble you get in, it's a, you know, and again, with the regulatory overkill, with lawsuit abuse run amok.
That's a good one too.
If these conditions are not, you know, kept in check so that they don't become excessive, then that garden that needs to be tended is overgrown with weeds, and you wind up where Pennsylvania has been for far too long, where our annual economic growth is only ever a fraction of the national average. And then year over year, as that dynamic continues, that Pennsylvania, you know, falls further and further behind relative to other states, and we become less important to
yeah,
the national conversation. You see that with the decennial census when Pennsylvania's congressional delegation keeps getting smaller.
Yeah, and to sort of come back to the beginning where we started out with this this survey about U.S. News and World Report ranking, I think it was interesting. It started out with a description of Pennsylvania and where we've come from, and it talked about how important Pennsylvania has been to the founding of the country and how its history is tied up with the development of the country, and it talked about how it was one of the nation's most important industrial centers for coal and steel and railroads.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to come back to that because we still have have all those things that made us successful.
Absolutely.
And there's no reason why we can't be that again.
Yes.
We have the energy. We have all of these assets here in Pennsylvania that can make us a big part of that, you know, national success again. We just need to be able to harness it and get all the resources together in order to make it successful.
Rebecca Euler for governor. That's what I say. Well, this is all the time we have for this week's program. Rebecca, where can people go to learn more about you and the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association?
They can find us at PMTA.org.
Outstanding. And as ever, you can find me online at PAManufacturers.org. So from Rebecca and me, thanks so much for listening. And we'll catch you next time on Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.